fools rush in. Part 2 of Soldiers, Poets, Kings. Written by Flower Parish. As read by Devil with a Bird Dress.
"Did you see this?"
a trooper demands from two bunks down. CT-7845 doesn't bother responding, although a few half-hearted yups and uh-huhs echo from up and down the surrounding rows.
"What's even the point?" the trooper continues, and 45 sighs.
"It's looking more and more like he's not going to be able to sleep before this gets rehashed again, and that's just beyond unacceptable." In an effort to speed it up, he sits up and swings his legs over the other side of the bunk, looking directly at the VOD who's keeping him awake.
"I think the point is to pass along the general's message."
"But why?" the trooper demands. If he's not careful, if he doesn't learn when to let things go, he's going to end up named something unfortunate like Babel or Tion.
"I assume because the general asked Kaish to."
45 is being a little unfair. He knows that. The message from Commander Cody to the entire battalion had stirred up a frenzy when it went out, telling them that the general himself was offering to answer their questions about Natborn gender stuff and resources related to that. Which, honestly, 45 can't even conceive what that might mean. And this VOD had clearly been on shift at the time, only getting a chance to yell about it now. It's not his fault that 45 has watched this conversation play out 3 times already, and now he wants to go the fuck to sleep.
"Okay," the VOD says, in a tone that indicates he is absolutely not agreeing to 45's well-reasoned point. "But no one's going to be stupid enough to approach the general and ask him about all of this."
Maybe it's the way the VOD says it. Like it's a foregone conclusion and he's winning some kind of argument that 45 doesn't even want to be having. Maybe it's just that 45 is tired and annoyed, and some degree of his already somewhat faulty self-preservation instinct has clearly gone offline. Whatever it is, 45 speaking before he even thinks about doing it, asking, "Is that a challenge?" The VOD stares at him, wide-eyed.
"No," he says immediately. "Of course not. What the fuck?"
"Well, Kark, 45's committed to this now. No way is he going to look like a coward by backing down. It sounds like a challenge." More VODA around them are watching the exchange, and one throws out a hesitant, "You wouldn't dare." 45 is pleased to note that this VOD does not sound certain about that assertion. 45 hums a vague affirmation. "Not right now," he allows, "because it's over an hour into my designated sleep cycle, and you Shebs Balone are keeping me awake. But later, I absolutely will."
"Jarla," one VOD nearby mutters, and another is only slightly nicer with a hushed, "Lyari Shebzika," mumbled under his breath.
45 rolls his eyes, flops down in bed, and pointedly says, "Well, you'll never find out unless you let me sleep." There's some muttered annoyance around him, but the rec rooms are for conversation, and the barracks are for sleeping. So the VOD around him settle, or they leave, and finally, 45 can tumble into a deep and dreamless sleep for a few hours until he's gotta get up and face the consequences of his own stupidity. "Overconfident," he thinks, as he's halfway to sleep. But for some reason, that just makes him fall asleep smiling. 3 days later, and 45 is pretty sure that Lyari would be the perfect name, but he's also set himself the unreasonable challenge of following through with all of this stupidity to earn it. "You don't have to earn a name," 45's squad mate Tra tells him during first meal. She doesn't get it, because she chose her own name just because she liked it, which, that's fine. 45's not saying that's not a valid way to get a name, but this is 45's name, and he's going to earn it or die trying. He says that, and Tra just sighs in fond exasperation. "Lyari," she says, and talks over his protest that it's not his name yet. "You're going to talk to the general, our commanding officer, about pronouns. You might actually literally die."
She's nice enough not to say he's going to get himself killed by saying something stupid to their general, but only because everyone in 45 Squad has told him that's how he's going to die, enough times already. Okay, he says, except it comes out in the same tone as the vode from the other night had used. Ugh. But if I don't, I'll definitely have earned my name. You've already more than earned that name, she tells him, and she makes it clear that this is not to be taken as a compliment. Whatever. I'll make sure they say your name right at remembrances, then, Vode. Thanks, Tra. 45 should probably not be nearly as pleased about that as he is, but, well, he totally, absolutely is, anyway. Break. This was maybe a stupid idea. Okay, it was definitely a stupid idea. But now that 45 is lingering in the hall outside of the general's quarters, he's embracing that in new and not entirely welcome ways. He hesitates, then thinks, "Do it for the name," and summons up whatever resolve he can find within himself. He steps forward to the door, moves to press the chime beside it, but before he can, the door slides open. 45 does not stumble back in surprise, mostly because showing surprise, or worse, fear, is the easiest way to get killed, and as such, he learned to suppress those urges a long time ago. Instead, he straightens up and salutes. "General Kenobi, sir." The general gives him a small smile. It looks strange on a natborn face, because it's kind, and 45 is really only accustomed to seeing expressions like that on faces that look identical to his own. "At ease, trooper," General Kenobi replies immediately. "How can I help you?" "Sir?" "Well, you seem to have made up your mind to ask me something," the general comments, as if this should be obvious. "I figured I'd save you some effort and answer the door before you had to press the buzzer. I'm not fond of the sound, you see." It takes 45 a long moment to parse that, but when he realizes that the general, their Jedi, could feel his long minutes of indecision as he loitered in the hall, he's sure he must be blushing something fierce. Thank Kark, the general only looks amused by 45's predicament. 45 takes a breath, and then he says, in a rush, "The commander told us we were allowed to ask you questions, sir." The general looks surprised, which is not very reassuring, but he also looks pleased, which is? Maybe? "Well, in that case," the general replies, "would you like to come in?" Curiosity wars with hesitation, but in the end, 45 agrees, mostly because it seems like the Jedi is offering him an actual choice, and like he might even listen if 45 said no. 45 can't be sure that this allowance to say no, to disagree, is a finite resource, but he can't be sure it's not, either. 45's not going to waste something that precious over a decision as small as this. "Yes, sir. Thank you." The general's quarters are probably small, all things considered, but they seem huge to 45, nonetheless. The bunk in here is the standard size, but the blankets on it are colorful and look soft, definitely not standard issue like the Vodas. He also has something like a kitchen all to himself, a table bolted to the wall near it, and a desk to work at. There's even a small couch, and while it's only large enough to seat two people, it seems impossibly luxurious to 45 to have that all to oneself. The general must catch him staring at it, because he offers, "You can sit there, if you like." He does, because he's already in so far over his head, so why not? It's only after he sits down that he realizes that if the general joins him, they'll be pressed against one another by necessity. 45 hasn't decided if that's thrilling or terrifying before the general drags over a chair from the desk and sits a few feet away instead. "I'm afraid I don't know your name," the general says after a moment of quiet. "I don't have one yet," he says immediately. Or, well, he's got to have earned it by now, right? "I like Layari." The general grins, his eyes twinkling with something Layari doesn't know how to interpret. Reminds him of when Tra would come up with ridiculous schemes in their training modules, and only half the time did they actually work. It's kind of terrifying to see that look on the general, but nice, too, to think that he may be more like the Voda than they knew to expect.
I like it, too, the general offers. May I ask what pronouns you would like me to use for you?
Layari blinks, startled, even though the commander's memo should have prepared him for this. Even though that's why he's here at all.
Oh, he and him are fine. I don't really care, so choosing anything else felt like more of a hassle than anything.
General Kenobi nods.
Thank you, Layari. And oh, Kark, it feels good to hear his name out loud.
I will keep that in mind.
How can I help you today? I will admit I did not expect any of you to take my offer this soon, if at all, but I would be pleased to assist you however I can.
Layari feels a bit guilty at that, because, well, General Kenobi is right, isn't he? Layari did come here to ask questions, but not for the right reasons, and having an ulterior motive in the face of the general's willingness to accommodate him suddenly feels unbearable.
Oh, right. That's kind of why I'm here.
He stops, though, unsure of how to explain without causing offense. He's not really afraid of punishment anymore, but he's also starting to realize that offending the first Natborn to bother being nice to him might be punishment enough.
Oh?
There is nothing but curiosity and acceptance radiating from the general.
The Voda might not be force-sensitive, but they're skilled at reading the body language of all kinds of Natborns, so that's his impression, nonetheless.
The other Voda said no one would be stupid, brave enough to ask you anything, and I guess I decided that meant someone should try it. Layari admits it all in a rush, and winces just a little as he does. Sounds incredibly childish laid out like that, and he kind of understands where Tra was coming from now.
Ugh.
But General Kenobi looks delighted, which... what?
I'm glad to assist you in proving yourself then, he says with utter sincerity.
As you're here now, though, do you have any questions for me, or would you prefer that we raid whatever snacks my former Padawan may have stashed in my cupboards?
His taste is eclectic, I'll admit, but the unpredictability is half of the fun.
Layari blinks a few times, processing all that, and then hesitantly suggests.
Both, maybe?
Or, I don't know, if you could point us toward things to read on the topic, that might be best. I don't care much, but some of the Voda do, and I can make sure some of the ones I know who are interested will spread the information to the others.
A wise approach, the general praises, and Layari preens.
All right, if you leave me your comm handle, I'll make sure to forward you a few resources to begin with.
May I ask that you also share my willingness to further assist any of your Voda who have questions or concerns?
This has been so strange already, and doing that will get him as many weird looks as Commander Cody has been subjected to lately, but
Layari gets it now. How can you look at the earnestness of their Jedi, see his clear desire to help, and refuse such a simple request?
Of course, sir, he replies, because that's the only answer he can give. I'd be happy to.
Excellent. The general's grin turns devious. Then, let us see what treasures we can find.
Layari stares down at his hall a few hours later, which consists of a terribly sour candy that Tra will love, some kind of treat that looks and feels similar to a ration bar but tastes like joy, which he plans to break up and share with the rest of his squad, and a message on his pad with approximately 15 links that are painstakingly divided into different sections. He notices the Vode who started all of this, pretending not to be eyeing him from a couple rows over.
Hey, he calls, and gestures for him to come closer.
I'm Layari. Thanks for the accidental challenge. Turns out the general's not that bad, actually. Wanna try this weird cookie thing from Naboo?
The Vode stares at him like he has three heads, but then he sighs and shrugs.
Sure, yeah. I'm Gab. Did the general give you those?
Layari grins and shifts over a bit to make room on his bunk.
Yeah.
Gab takes a seat beside him, and Layari leans immediately into his side.
Plus, check this out.
He shoves his pad at Gab, who stares down at the screen in pure shock.
Griff, he breathes. This is...
Yeah, Layari agrees happily.
Come on, help me figure out who to send this stuff to. Like, he's going to send it to Tra, obviously, and she could probably take it from there. But this seems like way more fun. Layari and Gab spend too many hours of Layari's sleep cycle plotting, but there will be other nights for sleep. Tonight, Layari has a name, a new friend, a whole lot of information to spread around the battalion, and maybe the Gar as a whole, holy shit, and the seed of a quiet, secret hope that maybe things might be okay for the Voda. One day. End. Mandoa translations. Tion. Prefix indicating that something is a question. Kaish. Pronoun. Neutral. Shebs. Ass. Jarla. Stupidly oblivious to danger. Layari. Overconfident. Swaggering. Tra. 1. Space or void. 2. Starfield. This was a gift for Flowers Parish for the informal Twitter podfic exchange. I hoped you enjoyed. And I really do love the ridiculous antics of Layari, Himbo of the Stars. Thank you for listening.